Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Norwalk, number 333, half of the number of the beast. My name is Nick Hart. This is the number one podcast broadcasting from South Bermondsey to the world beyond the seas. Welcome to this special edition, dear listeners. We're doing a short news roundup, and I'm going to cover my rather popular random fixtures from the past for you. There's a lot of people who enjoy these random fixtures. So we've got two special ones for you today. A New Year's Eve from 1892, and then a New Year's Day more recently from 1975. So I hope you're going to enjoy both of those far apart dates from the past. But first, we're going to be looking at a little bit of Mill news. Obviously, we've been on an extended break over the course of the Christmas holidays with the COVID outbreak in the squad. So the Lions have been had to pass on two fixtures, the Bournemouth and the I think it was the Watford fixture, wasn't it, due to be played over Christmas, both now put back into January, crowding an already packed schedule for not just for Millwall, for the game generally. The wisdom of playing a full season with both cup competitions starting in September and expecting to finish in, you know, normal time in April, is looking increasingly questionable. But there we are. We are in the hands of our social betters, dear listeners, are we not, on that question? But despite no football, dear listener, over Christmas, some Millwall news. I'm just looking at the London News Online, excellent Millwall website. The recall, obviously, that's been widely circulated on social media of Danny McNamara, who was playing up in with St Johnstone up in Scotland. He's been recalled and is expected to challenge Marlon Romeo for the right-back berth in the second part of the Championship campaign. Interesting linked story, dated 31st, yesterday, as I'm recording this. Linked story, Gary Rowett saying that Marlon Romeo is going nowhere. Millwall boss rubbishes any talk of defender making a dent exit in the January transfer window. Now, we have to take some of this with a pinch of salt, perhaps, because I think, you know, it's a cliche, but it's true that in football, there are very few non-selling clubs, even up to and including the greatest and the best. Everyone has a price. Now, we don't know if there's been any interest. There seems to be movement expected in the club. Whether that includes Romeo or not remains to be seen. But you can't dismiss the possibility. And the fact that McNamara's come back, having had good ratings up there in Scotland, does give you a 2+2 kind of piece of arithmetic, doesn't it? And anyway, the story is being rubbished here by Gary Rowett, so we'll see during the January transfer window that lies ahead. Some injury good news with the hint that Kenneth Zahor, whose loan period will expire fairly soon, but will remain to be seen whether that can be extended, if Millwall wants it, and if he wants it, and if West Bromwich Albion wants it. Obviously, a really, really promising start for Zahor before being injured back in October. We've not seen anything of him since. But if the stars, if Venus sits opposite Mars and Jupiter is trine Saturn, then perhaps the possibility of Kenneth Zahor coming back fingers crossed he looks as sharp as he did in that goal with Sam Preston. That was the away win at Preston, I think. He looked really sharp, and sharpness up front has been at a premium all season. So he's likely to be at least on the bench against Coventry tomorrow afternoon, which is good news, in my opinion, dear listeners. Obviously, the formation of the B&B partnership up front looks like a fantastic prospect going forwards. Let's hope it stays so. But it can never, ever hurt to have quality on the bench or starting up front. So let's hope that Zohor injury does indeed come to pass and that we get something of the player that we saw a glimpse of back in October. Gary Rarick, speaking about Troy Parrott, saying Tottenham haven't contacted us about the alleged recall of Troy Parrott, who's played very little part in the season so far. Again, we shall see, dear listeners, shan't we? We shall see. Two other bits of good news here is the respective extended contracts to Ryan Leonard and Tom Bradshaw, both of whom are good assets to the squad, in my opinion, dear listeners. So we'll see whether that does indeed mean, as Harry, I think, rather cynically put it the other day, that they'll be on their way out in the summertime. I don't know. But extended contracts for both of those players. One last snippet before we close on the current. It's a rather strange period. No, there's football, but there's no Millwall. So I feel kind of like, I don't know, it's like looking down on yourself while you're asleep. One of those kind of out-of-body experiences, in a way, with football at the moment. We're part of it, but we're not part of it. But one other snippet of news before we close out on the current situation is the appointment of one Harvey Bussell, who's the new head of recruitment at the Den. The departure, obviously, of Alex Aldridge earlier in the season. Former journalist, founder of the News at Den website, Alex Aldridge. He was appointed under Neil Harris. He left to go to Stoke back at the start of the season. And instead now, after a few months of Gary Rowett and Adam Barrett kind of sharing the duties between them, now we have a head of recruitment, one Harvey Bussell, who comes from Birmingham. Apart from that, and his name resemblance to Darcy Bussell, the highly attractive ex-ballerina and Strictly Come Dancing hostess. That's about all I'm going to say about Harvey Bussell. He's in one of those jobs where if he's doing well, we won't need to hear about him. And if he's doing badly, he probably ought to be, en route back to Birmingham in that case. So let's hope that works out anyway, because we really do need to up our game on that front, recruitment-wise. So there we are, the Lions facing Coventry City at home at the Den tomorrow afternoon, as I record. I should be watching it on the iFollow. Let's hope for a win. It would be nice to start this new year of 2021 with a boost to the spirits, because God knows we need it after that tough 2020 we've just had. So I thought I'd just leave you with a couple of random fixtures from the past. Now, I'm looking at the first of the random years was 1892, and we did one quite recently on 1891, which very similar, obviously, a similar kind of era. But I thought, no, I'll go with this 1892 random year, just one year on. It's the East London the East London Observer, forgive me, dated December the 31st that I'm looking at, 1892. Football then was given wasn't given a huge coverage at this point. I mean, we're talking about 1892, so this is just 7 years after the formation of Millwall Football Club. The game then was very, certainly in London, no league football at this point in the southern part of the country. The Football League had formed in 1885, famously. That was mostly focused on Lancashire and Yorkshire, northern clubs, some in the Midlands with Aston Villa. But certainly down south, friendlies and cup competitions, as we said in our previous episode when we referred to the 1891 scene. But this game here, referred to in the East London Observer, Millwall Athletic went to Reading in Caversham, which is be their game at their ground prior to Elm Park. Now, I am old enough, I don't know if you're old enough, dear listener, to have been to the old Elm Park ground, which was in the town of Reading, actually in the central part of Reading, pretty much close to the railway station. As against the Majeski which is out near the M4 junction, of course. Well, just to read a little bit from this quite quaintly worded football report. Millwall Athletic were at Reading on Saturday, where they met the well-known club of that name. The Biscuit 11 have been playing very well lately. The Biscuit Men was the old nickname for Reading Football Club prior to becoming the Royals. I think that coincided with the move to the new stadium in the late 1990s. They seemed to drop the Biscuit Men tag and become the Royals. The link historically in Reading being with the Huntley and Palmer Biscuit Company, of course. I've always liked that as a nickname, I suppose. Maybe it appeals to, it's a slightly quirky name. A lot of the old nicknames weren't they? Like the Toffees and the Hatters and the Biscuit Men in Reading's case. But the Biscuit 11 had been playing very well prior to facing Mill Athletic, the Dockers, as we were known at that point. Large attendance there, it says here. There was a very large attendance and the spectators had the opportunity of witnessing a splendidly contested game. Doesn't give you any indication as to how large an attendance that means. Football at this point, I mean, including the Lions, of course, we'd not long moved in 1892 to the Athletic Ground, which had a capacity of something between 15 to 20,000. But before that, playing in, you know, effectively playing on waste ground in the Isle of Dogs, and I think Reading would have been doing similar in Caversham, you're probably talking about just a roped-off field with minimal grandstand, minimal terracing, certainly embankments perhaps, but not formal terracing as we've come to know. So you're probably talking about not much beyond park football at this point. How much a large attendance might have been then? A few thousand perhaps, maybe 2,000, possibly 3,000. As many as you might be able to get behind ropes around some open ground, really. I think you've probably got to think in those terms, so perhaps a couple of thousand. The Lions won the game, which would have been a friendly. It's not referred to as a cup competition, as we've said a few times back in the early 1890s. It was friendly football and it was cup competitions, and this would have been a friendly almost certainly. The Lions, forgive me, the Dockers, coming out by the winners by 2-1 after a very open and keenly contested, splendidly contested game, the East London Observer mentions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, just on the tangent, the same column, it's one column covering all the clubs in the kind of eastern side. It mentions Royal Arsenal. My eye was just caught by this. I hope you, I know it's a Millwall podcast, but the Royal Arsenal were opposed by a team new to London, it says, namely Burslem Port Vale, a well-known club in the Midlands. And the game was, the powerhouse of the game was Midlands and North of England at this point. So the visit of Port Vale, Burslem Port Vale, as they were still known at this point, to the Royal Arsenal, and at this stage they would have been playing in Plumstead, the club that would become Arsenal, of course, when they moved to Highbury in the end. But at this point, Royal Arsenal would have been playing at the Invicta Ground, which was located just on the south side of Plumstead High Street. Now, anyone that knows the area, it's quite densely packed with Victorian housing. But if you come back a few streets from Plumstead Station, there's a section of a couple of roads that kind of create a slight square or rectangle, I suppose. Hector Street and Mineral Street. The ground, the Invicta Ground, was located there on Hector Street / Mineral Street. And word has it, I mean, I've never seen this myself. I used to work in the area, but I've never seen any of the old terracing. Apparently some of the gardens on Mineral Street still have terracing from the old Arsenal ground. They would shuttle between the Manor ground, which is roughly where the bus station is, as it heads the road pulls northwards towards Thamesmead nowadays, and the Invicta ground. Rent disputes. The man who owned the Invicta ground was a local mineral water magnate, hence the name Mineral Street. He put the rent up when they were promoted, or elected, we should say, to the Football League in the mid-1890s. So that was where the Invicta ground was located. And the game was a win for Burson by 3-1. Again, a friendly, no league football for Arsenal. It was the search for the improved standards of league football that drove both Arsenal to join the Football League and in time the formation of the Southern League. This would come a couple of years after this particular paper was published. And just the fascinating columns alongside it. I mean, it's nothing to do with football at all, but these are the things that my eye falls upon and I just love. So you've got the football column there that I've just described. Fixtures, various local teams, West Ham Park, Luton Town v Millwall, blah, blah, blah. And then underneath that, you've got the Second Tower Hamlets Rifle Volunteers, Honourable Colonel Sir T. Fowell Buxton Bart, Commanding Officer. And this is orders for the week, 1892, January 8th. Various orders. Drills are suspended until further notice, he says. No non-commissioned officer or man is to wear a marksman's badge, except those who have won it prior to 1892. Tactical and War Game Society meeting. Headquarters of the Tower Hamlets Rifle Volunteers, 237 Whitechapel Road. Interesting to see military orders in a regular local newspaper, I suppose. But there we are. Such were the times and various fascinating adverts, which I will bore you with till the cows come home, given half a chance. But that might cause you to turn my podcast off, so I won't do that. Instead, we're going to move away from that random fixture there, dear listeners. And we're going to run you forward by just short of 100 years, 80 years in the future, to 1975, in actual fact. Now, this is a season that I remember very, very well. That was that paper was published on New Year's Eve, 1892. But I'm going to run you fast forward to the Sunday Mirror, Sunday, January the 5th, 1975, FA Cup game, Bury 2, Millwall 2, third round of the FA Cup, 1974-75 season, so this would be the very turn of that season into the new year, 1975. I remember this season very well, very disappointing season. I would have been 14 years old at this point, just a couple of years into my Millwall life. This was a real crunch season because it was pretty much the end of the Benny Fenton. In fact, Benny Fenton would have gone by this stage. He left us, I think it was in the January or the November, after 7 or 8 years in charge of the Lions and taking us so close to success, of course, when I first began going in 1972. But ever since then, bit by bit, the club had started to fade. Benny's powers of motivation clearly were not what they were. And 74-75 would finish in relegation at the end of the season, relegation to the third division. But this was an FA Cup tie played. This would be the Sunday paper, so it would be on the Saturday. That would have been January the 4th, 1975. Bury 2, Millwall 2. I'll read you the match report. It's from the Sunday Mirror, as I said. It's after a first half when neither team could produce the finishing touch. The game came alive with 4 goals in 22 minutes. Barry Kitchener handled the ball, and when police had removed protesting Millwall fans from the pitch, Hampstead blasted the ball from the spot. So that's 1-0 to Bury after protesters had taken to the pitch to protest the handball. I wasn't at this game. I was at the replay. So I can't tell you about the handball. Keeper Brian King, whose memoirs are now available, of course, brilliantly blocked the shot, but couldn't do anything about Hampstead's follow-up. So 1-0 Bury. Just 4 minutes later, Gordon Bolland equalised with a penalty after Thompson had handled for Bury. So now 1-1. Substitute Gordon Hill. Great player. Gordon Hill, a magician. Merlin, great, great player. Crushing when he left us, dear listener. So he would have been young here. Substitute Gordon Hill pushed Millwall into the lead in the 79th minute when he neatly lobbed the ball over goalkeeper John Forrest's head. So now 2-1 to Millwall. But Berry bounced back a minute later when Brian Williams scored with a brilliant diving header from a cross by Spence. Despite a last-minute scare when Hooligan cleared off the line, that goal was enough to earn a replay on Tuesday at Colblow Lane, with a chance of a home game against Mansfield in the next round. A glittering prize, I'm sure you would agree. So Toole at Gig Lane led to a replay, which I was at this game, 7th of January 1975, evening match, Tuesday night game. Replay, a 1-1 draw, disappointing game as I remember. It went to extra time. Phil Summerall scoring for the Lions, only for a last minute, 119th equaliser, minute equaliser for Ed Thompson. No penalty shootouts back then. Dear listeners, so that game would finish 1-1 in front of 10,274 at Colblow Lane. So third replay was needed, which took place, strange as it might sound, into the modern era. But that took place at a neutral venue. So Millwall played Berry at a neutral venue, which was the Hawthorns in Birmingham. A Monday night game, third round, second replay. That finished 2-0 to Berry in front of just 3,000. So it was the end of the Lions FA Cup run that season, 29. Let's just have a look at that team that went to Berry and lost 2-0. Some great old names here. Brian King, Tony Hazel at number two. John Moore was a great defender, fullback. Alan Dorney, Barry Kitchener, Frank Saul, Doug Alder, Eddie Jones. Brian Clark was a great, great striker. He played for Cardiff. I think he famously had scored a goal against, was it Real Madrid or Inter Milan? One of the big European sides for Cardiff. They used to regularly play in European football by winning the Welsh Cup. So Brian Clark, Phil Summerill, very disappointing striker to my memory. Then Gordon Hill was an immensely talented winger, and who we would eventually go on to sell to Manchester United and break my little teenage heart when that happened. Welcome to Millwall, Nick. Substitute was Eddie Jones that particular night. Now that was a bad 11. I think probably one or two players were coming towards the end of their time. This would have been under Gordon Jago. He'd actually come in the October, taking over from Benny Fenton, who had been in charge for many, many years. So most of that squad had been Benny Fenton players, but it just wasn't happening and would carry on not happening for the season, because we would finish relegated that year, finishing in 20th position in the second division, being relegated to the third tier. So there we are, New Year's Day 2021, looking back at just shortly after New Year's Day 1975, in actual fact, and before that 1892. I hope you've enjoyed this random fixture and any digressions that I make along the way. Do tell me if you like these kinds of shows. I'm more than happy to keep doing them. So 2021 lies ahead, dear listeners. The season strikes me as still in our hands. If we can get a decent string of results together through January, if we can start to get the ball forwards and properly, you know, in and around a danger area, maybe now with the B&B partnership, possibly Zahor, if that deal can come to pass, then there is still opportunity in front of us. So fingers crossed. I want to wish you all the very best for 2021. 2020 was a really tough year. I am personally really looking forward, really hoping that before this season closes, we can all get back down to the den at some point in a normal way, unrestricted, having had whatever, you know, medication is required to fend off this virus, and get back to the meal that we know and love. And let's hope we can string some results together, and that'll get maybe a bit of a surge going into the late months of the year. So thank you for listening to this edition, dear listeners. I'll be back on Sunday with a post-Coventry review. I'm going to be speaking to Ryan Loftus to get his views on the Millwall performance. And until then, in that case, dear listeners, I want to say thank you for listening, and arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Asking Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.